Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narches podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Bill O'Reilly's Legends and Lies: The Civil War, written by David Fisher as part of the Legends and Lies companion series, is a popular history account of the American Civil War. Rather than presenting a narrowly academic military study, the book combines narrative history, biographical sketches, archival images, eyewitness material, and a myth-testing frame designed for general readers. It follows the conflict from the political and moral tensions before secession through major turning points such as the Underground Railroad, the rise of the Republican Party, the Emancipation Proclamation, Gettysburg, and the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Its purpose is to make the Civil War readable while also questioning simplified reputations attached to figures such as Lincoln, Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, Robert E. Lee, Ulysses S. Grant, Stonewall Jackson, Jefferson Davis, John Wilkes Booth, and William Tecumseh Sherman. The result is an accessible overview of a war that reshaped national identity, federal power, slavery, and modern warfare. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a broad Civil War narrative that links politics, battlefields, and national rupture, the book treats the Civil War as more than a sequence of battles. Its narrative begins with the political and moral pressures that made compromise increasingly impossible, including sectional conflict over slavery, the emergence of the Republican Party, and the formation of the Confederacy. This framing matters because the war cannot be understood only through military maneuvers. It was also a crisis over the meaning of the Union and the future of human bondage in the United States. By moving from pre-war tensions to secession, battlefield escalation, emancipation, and Lincoln's assassination, the book gives readers a continuous arc rather than isolated episodes. That structure helps explain why decisions made in legislatures, abolitionist networks, presidential offices, army camps, and civilian communities all affected the war's direction. The approach is especially useful for readers who know famous events such as Gettysburg or Appomattox, but have less context for how political conflict, moral activism, military necessity, and public opinion interacted. The book, therefore, positions the Civil War as a national rupture in which institutions, leaders, enslaved people, soldiers, and civilians all shape the outcome. Secondly, myth-testing through famous figures and contested reputations. A central feature of the Legends and Lies format is its attention to the gap between historical memory and documented complexity. The book uses well-known figures as entry points for examining how legends form, why they endure, and what they obscure. Abraham Lincoln is not treated only as an icon of emancipation, but as a political leader operating under wartime pressure, constitutional limits, and shifting public attitudes. Robert E. Lee, Ulysses S. Grant, Stonewall Jackson, Jefferson Davis, William Tecumseh Sherman, Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, and John Wilkes Booth also appear within the broader problem of reputation. This method is valuable because Civil War memory has often been shaped by regional loyalties, heroic portraits, schoolbook simplifications, and later political uses of the past. The book does not replace specialized biographies, but it encourages readers to ask whether familiar labels such as hero, traitor, genius, butcher, martyr, or fanatic are adequate. By emphasizing both action and context, it shows that historical judgment depends on evidence, consequences, and the pressure surrounding choices. The result is a more active reading experience than a simple chronological summary. Thirdly, slavery, emancipation, and the struggle over the war's moral meaning. The book places slavery and emancipation at the center of the Civil War story without reducing the entire conflict to a single document or leader. Its coverage of the Underground Railroad, abolitionist activity, Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, and the Emancipation Proclamation helps connect the experiences of enslaved people and reformers to the decisions of national leaders. This emphasis is important because the Civil War developed through both political conflict over slavery and the actions of people who resisted bondage directly. The Emancipation Proclamation appears not simply as a moral declaration, but as a wartime measure with strategic, legal, and international implications. By including Black resistance and abolitionist advocacy alongside presidential action, the book makes clear that freedom was not handed down by one figure alone. It was forced onto the national agenda through decades of pressure, escape, organizing, public argument, military necessity, and self-emancipation. This treatment gives readers a framework for understanding why the war changed from a fight to preserve the Union into a conflict that also destroyed legal slavery. It also clarifies why emancipation remained incomplete without later constitutional and political struggles. Fourthly, military leadership, battlefield decisions, and the rise of modern total war. The book uses major commanders and battles to show how the Civil War transformed American warfare. Figures such as Grant, Lee, Jackson, and Sherman are important not only for their personalities, but for the military problems they confronted: mass armies, railroads, telegraphs, industrial supply, heavy casualties, and prolonged campaigns across vast territory, the Battle of Gettysburg receives attention as a turning point. But the broader value of the account is its attention to how leadership decisions carried political and human consequences. Grant is often associated with relentless pressure. Lee with tactical audacity, Jackson with aggressive movement, and Sherman with destructive campaigns aimed at breaking Confederate capacity and morale. The book presents these reputations in a way that helps readers see strategy as a blend of calculation, risk, resources, geography, and public tolerance for loss. Its account of the war also suggests why the conflict feels recognizably modern civilian infrastructure became a target. Casualty lists reached unprecedented scale, and victory required economic exhaustion as well as battlefield success. This makes the military sections relevant beyond tactics because they illuminate how the war altered the relationship between armies and society. Lastly, visual companion format that makes popular history more accessible. As a companion to a television docudrama series, the book is designed for readability and visual engagement. Archival images, maps, artwork, and eyewitness material are part of its appeal, giving readers more than a text-only account. This format helps audiences who may find dense academic Civil War studies difficult to enter, because visual material can clarify uniforms, battle locations, public ceremonies, political figures, and wartime atmosphere. The book also benefits from short, event-driven sections that create momentum and encourage comparison between legend and evidence. At the same time, this strength creates a limitation. The book is best understood as an accessible overview, rather than a specialist monograph. Readers looking for exhaustive historiographical debate, detailed footnoted arguments, or deep analysis of every campaign will need more scholarly works. Its value lies in synthesis, pacing, and orientation. By combining narrative, images, and recognizable historical personalities, it can serve as a gateway into Civil War history. The companion format, therefore, shapes both the book's strengths and its boundaries. It makes the subject approachable, but it necessarily simplifies some debates for a broad audience. In conclusion, this book is best suited for general readers who want a clear, energetic introduction to the Civil War, and for viewers of the Legends and Lies series who want a companion volume with added context and visual material. It is also useful for readers who remember fragments from school history, but want a more connected account of how slavery, secession, military strategy, emancipation, and assassination fit together. Its practical benefit is orientation. It helps readers identify major figures, understand the sequence of events, and recognize why popular memory of the war is often incomplete or distorted. Its intellectual benefit is the habit of questioning simplified legends without losing sight of the real moral and political stakes of the conflict. Compared with many Civil War books, it stands out through its combination of narrative speed, myth-focused framing, and illustrated presentation. It is not the most specialized or deeply sourced work in the field, and it should not be treated as a substitute for academic studies by Civil War historians. Its strength is different. It makes a vast and complicated subject accessible, while encouraging readers to look beyond familiar heroic or villainous portraits. For many readers, it can function as a strong first step toward deeper Civil War study. If you would like to support David Fisher, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.